hello everyone, and welcome to Linux to the Rest of Us, episode 149. This is a show about all sorts of Linux topics, software, hardware. We bring you all sorts of news and opinions, and by we, I mean myself, Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Super Coop, a.k.a. The Ice Machine, and my good friend, the Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
I'm okay. I am literally giddy at the fact that I get to talk to my good buddy, my good comrade, my pal, my bro, Cody, Mr. Super Coop Cooper. It has been far too long. First off, I commend you. I will say the level of work ethic you have displayed is rare in this day and age. For you to find any time right now, any time to come and do a show completely blows my mind. The fact you're even have the ability to be awake after what you've been put through for the last couple months, I absolutely commend you, sir. And I gotta ask, how was your Halloween? How was your Thanksgiving? How was your Christmas? How was your New Year's? And anything else that we missed?
Well, I work at retail, and traditionally, you know, holidays, retail the world over is just crazy. This year, I took over a new position and in a much larger location within the company I work for, and I'm good now. So some things happened. Like, I lost one of my best employees. He transferred. So, like, I lost an all-star on my team, and so I was going into holiday a little bit less prepared than I probably could have been. Yeah, I was putting in 70 to 80 hour work weeks from like the end of September on, and it got to some spots where I'd be, you know, there at 2 a.m. thinking I can be back at 8. So, I mean, I live an hour away, so it's like I can drive home and, you know, sleep for 3 hours, get up, shower, hope I wake up to my alarm, because when I'm super tired, it's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever, you know. Yeah, so survived Christmas. Everything went really well. Good things are coming my way because of the, you know, the time I put in. You know, people talk about putting their nose to the grindstone. I felt like I put my face up against it, and it's gone. It's just right. it was so busy. But ultimately, thank you for being so understanding. And I got to tell you guys, Door was there every step of the way. It wasn't like I just fell off the face of the earth. I was talking to him, giving him updates, and saying I tried to come on and do shows, but it was family, work, all sorts of things. And now that it's settled down, that I have a better work schedule and I have a better team in place, these shows will continue to be just consistent from here on out. I have a new work schedule, so Dora and I are going to try a couple different days throughout the week and see what works for us as far as his schedule and mine. And so we didn't pod fade. We took a short hiatus, and it was all due to me. Obviously, Dor continued to do shows, but ultimately he and several of our listeners as well. I'm talking Spaceman Pete, Rick Crouch, Martin Obando, Tater Rambo, and many others reached out to me and heard kind of what was going on, and gave me some kind words. And I, every time I saw one, I thought that's very sweet, but I also thought I miss doing this show. I just got to get back on here. So, long story short, I'm doing well. I'm back. We're back. And the show isn't going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Door's not going anywhere. Well, I don't want to speak for you. You're not going anywhere, right, Door?
I'm not sure.
He's not sure. Okay.
I'm not in worst case scenario. Of my own destiny.
Okay. Well,
I'm married.
I was about to say, get your wife on the phone.
No. No, but okay. I got to say this one super thing quick. A lot of other podcasts have a thing that they keep doing called a season. And between each season, they take a break. We went for basically 140-ish weeks, nearly nonstop, okay? Mm-hmm. If you want justification, we were taking time to research. We were taking time to do planning. We were taking time to redo ourselves and come out differently. In reality, I could have gotten someone else every single week to hop on the show and do the show with me. That's not the issue. The issue is Linux for the Rest of Us has become, in my opinion, two comrades talking about different things that just happen to be involved mainly in Linux, but we just talk about things, and we have, in my opinion, we have a very good back and forth. I don't want to go back and forth with someone else. Now, we had Tony from SMLR on because I hounded him literally for 6 months. I want to help publicize his show. He offered me a promo. Podnuts has never played a promotional audio clip for any other podcast in its existence. I didn't want to make an exception from the rule because other people might expect it. So I just encouraged someone, if you want to promote your podcast, come on one of these podcasts. So I got Tony on. We did a show. I'm immensely thankful for Tony to setting the time aside, but I didn't want to do shows without Cody. With that said, listen, in 3 months, someone new to our show will never even know this happened. Even the long-time listeners, 3 months from now, what our break will be a flash in the pan, a thing of the past. It happens. Podcasting, I take podcasting too serious. I devote over 20 hours a week. The funny thing is, I add up my time at my 9-to-5 job and my time on Podnuts. I work 65 hours to 75 hours a week. Doing those two things combined. It's not like I took these past 3 months and I played Stratego or crossword puzzles upstairs. I was doing a lot of things on the back end of the network. Nothing in Linux happened that critical, that crazy, that important, that dramatic, that we didn't already see happening. So in all reality, there's not a single piece of important Linux information that we missed out on. It's just we took a small break. Going forward, the only thing me and Cody can do, we are just two individual people. We have families, we have friends, we have work, we have events we have to be to. We will just continue to try to do our best, and hopefully it shows. I cannot thank everyone enough for their support and for their patience, because the worst I got was an email from a guy saying, I hope you're not pod fading. Everybody else was like, is everything okay? Yeah, everything's okay. We things just happen. So hopefully we're going to get more consistent, more better now. But every week, this is life, people. We play it by ear. We're not paid tech journalists who get paid to come in and do these kind of things. We do this for fun. You know, so when we can do it, we can do it.
Well, And a lot of it too. I mean, like I said, I just really thank Dor, because it wasn't he was never disappointed when I told him I couldn't do a show or I needed some time off. He just flat out said, you know, you go do what you need to do. You know, work and life is more, work and family is more important. And like I said, my plans right now are just to make up for lost time. I mean, I'm sure that we'll keep the show consistent as we did in the past. And with some of the time that we missed, I would like to say that I have it in my heart, and he does too, to make up for some lost time and get some extra content out there in between to sort of help us fill that gap. But we are back. We are back. And I got to say, thank you for the kind words as far as wanting to just wait for me to do the show. I want to thank you, thank Tony for coming on. I listened to that episode, I think, two or three times back to back late one night at work, and it was just a smile on my face just because I was able to listen to a show as a fan again without me on it, which was kind of weird. And I got to say, as far as SMLR, you can have Tony and Mary on to host anytime you want.
Right. Right. Well, Mary now has a lot more free time because her beloved Detroit Lions are now watching football instead of playing football. So.
Oh, that sounds unfortunate.
Yeah, well, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say the only thing that we quote-unquote missed out on luckily just got extended, Cody. Your friend, my friend, Honorable Jonathan T. Nato, started a Indiegogo campaign to help improve Orca's overall compatibility, usefulness, and functionality. And I'm not going to say this is something that was desperately needed, but this is something desperately needed in order to make Orca the best that it possibly can be. Jonathan, again, the hardest working man I think I've ever experienced in my life. For as much that has happened to him in his life, for him to have as much vigor to jump and destroy everything he wants. He just attacks with such passion. It is truly second to none. He's doing an Indiegogo campaign. If you just go there and search for Orca, you'll find Accessible Computing Foundation, bringing digital sight to the vision impaired. It's to help with Orca. Now, I don't know if you've used Orca in the past, Cody. Have you?
I haven't. And for those of you who don't know, Orca is the open source screen reading software.
JAWS.
Yeah, the proprietary version of that. Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. But if you don't know, software like this proprietary software would cost, you know, out of pocket for a visually impaired person. I mean, you're talking thousands of dollars, unless they're enrolled in a government program, in which case the government is still paying thousands of dollars per license for this. So think of that as a huge hurdle, and think of the hurdles that these people face as far as employment anyway. You can't cough up $1,500 to $3,000 for this kind of software just on a whim. I mean, and to have something like this exist is great, but to have Jonathan behind it with the ACF supporting it, it's even better.
Yeah. I will say that Cody hinted on to me the bottom line. The bottom line is, even if a person with vision impairment does not have to pay for this, we all as American taxpayers are paying for this. Yep. Want to know why taxes are so high? This is just one out of 3 trillion examples of why our taxes are so high, because the government gets raked over the coals by a company who, ironically enough, has the name Freedom Scientific. I mean, I don't know how much more irony you can have it there, but Orca is, I will say, I tried to use it, never using it before. It utterly confused me, and the speech synthesis was horrid. It was literally like 1980s war game. Jonathan has already been able to make extreme improvements to the speech synthesis. Okay, if you want to get proof in the pudding, download a copy of Sonar Linux. You have to install it. Once you install it, then Speech Hub is enabled, and then you will hear a much more human-like voice. This guy has already tackled one of the biggest problems with Orca, in my opinion, which was the sound of the voice. Now he's going to go back through, and he's going to try to improve the compatibility with Orca and the most used software, like Firefox and Thunderbird and everything else. So I don't care how someone out there feels about Indiegogo and Kickstarter campaigns and pledges, fine. Don't go to Indiegogo. At the same time, don't badmouth it. Just go to theacf.co and click contribute, okay? You don't have to contribute through the Indiegogo if you don't want to. And in fact, I highly encourage people to do both. To go to Indiegogo, make a one-time donation, but then after that, go to theacf.co and make a reoccurring monthly donation. This is something that is literally 20 years behind in computing, and the sooner it catches up, the better it's going to be for everyone using a computer.
You got that right. And yeah, actually, it's been over a year now since I've signed up for the recurring donation every month, and every time I see that little, you know, ding from PayPal, I get a little smile on my face, knowing that, you know, I'm helping in some small way to make sure that this technology moves forward and helps those people in need. So you can have that feeling too, and we have some more information about that later in the show as well.
Yep. Now, the next thing that happened during our break, no one out there is supposed to know about. Okay. Quick rant, and the rant is, yes, you can buy an HP or a Dell computer or an Asus computer and then put Linux on it. You're actually supporting monopolies, Microsoft. You can go buy a MacBook Air and then put Linux on it, but you're supporting Apple. You're supporting the sales numbers. You're supporting the perception of sales, even if you're not going to use their software. So people say, well, you can go to System76 or Zavreason. Yes, you can. And yes, you will show support for Linux. I will just tell people out there, System76 and Zavreason very normally have closed hardware on their laptops. And what I mean by that, and Cody's experienced this.
I have.
He did not get full use of his hardware until he went to the System76 website and he added a line in his sources.list file to download a binary blob so he would get full sleep or hibernate support on his laptop. This is wrong, people. Okay. Any company out there, in my humble opinion, selling Linux needs to try to make a honest effort in order to have full open hardware. I don't want to have to rely on System76's servers being up and available for me to get this binary blob on my computer. Zyreason, the same way. Thank goodness there's choice. And the choice is ThinkPenguin, okay? ThinkPenguin has been at every Linux Fest I've been to. Granted, I've only been to three. He's been to every single one. He's the only one that the guy behind the table is the owner of the company, and he works every day. He works 60 plus hours a week at trying to make his company better, and at the same time doing everything in his power to protect your, the user's, freedom by making sure everything is open hardware, okay? If people are out there looking to buy a computer, I cannot beg you enough. ThinkPenguin.com. I will say this. If you go look at their laptops, like their Emperor laptops, yes, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You are going to pay more for a ThinkPenguin laptop versus a Dell, versus an HP, versus an Asus, versus a whatever, 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 because they buy in insane bulk. ThinkPenguin is not at that point yet. I cannot encourage people enough, vote with your dollar. If you can afford it, buy a ThinkPenguin device. One, uncomparable customer support. Chris, who is the owner, is the man. He gets back with anybody and everybody instantaneously. Two, you are voting with your dollar, supporting free software and free hardware. Everyone talks about free software, which is important. Free hardware will become just as important very soon. Trust me on this, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you contact us at mail@podnuts.com or podcast@linuxforthestofus.com, I have available to me ThinkPenguin coupon codes. I ask people, send me an email, tell me what you're looking for, why you're looking for, how you're going to use the device. It doesn't have to be a long email. Literally, two sentences is plenty enough. If you're seriously interested with getting a computer, but you need to save a little bit of money in order to make ThinkPenguin a possibility, please let me know. I have exclusive coupon codes. I don't have coupon codes to horrible services like GoDaddy. I don't have coupon codes to horrible services out there that invade your privacy. I don't have coupon codes to these places that do nothing but butcher everyone's personal rights. I have coupon codes to somebody out there supporting free software and free hardware. Please, I beg people, you know, take me up on this offer.
And trust me when I say this, Podness has gotten offers from other companies before for support and ad support. And due to the fact that for one reason or another, we didn't like them or the services they provided, we said no. Door's done that. I've done that. Steve C has done that in the past. So, I mean, we could be making a lot of ad revenue and pumping a lot more advertisements into these shows that may or may not be applicable to listeners. But the fact of the matter is, if you're listening to the show, you are interested in freedom to a certain extent. Either you're just becoming aware of the concept, you might be in the market for some hardware. And then another thing you might want to consider too is the fact that when you do go buy these machines from, you know, the big name manufacturers, you know, Dell, Lenovo, HP, all that, those prices are lower for a number of reasons. One of the factors Dor mentioned, because they're buying a lot of these parts in bulk, but another one is because the retail price subsidized through getting deals on the software from Microsoft. So when it comes with Windows 8 loaded on it, you're not having to pay extra fees. They are able to offer that at a lower price or at a better entry level price specifically because of that deal with them too. So you are, regardless, if you get that thing in the mail, throw the drive away, and throw another drive in there, throw Linux on it, you're still supporting Microsoft by buying these machines. And when you're running into hardware compatibility, Dor mentioned I bought a laptop from System 76, and their customer service is great. You know, Russ Winter's spoken about that before, and I'm not going to knock them at all. But the issue I had, which may not sound like a big deal, is my suspend resume wasn't working, which you might say, well, big deal, just reset your laptop. Here's what was happening: when I would resume my laptop, all of my keys and my keyboard were automatically set to the second function. So if you think of all the crazy characters that all of the keys are mapped to in second function mode, they were all like that, which means I couldn't log in. I couldn't type in any passwords. I couldn't disable second function from the keyboard at all. And then our good friend Wes Winter told me about that little binary blob, installed it, was fine. But for a basic user, they might not know that. That might be a 5-hour conversation on customer support waiting online, calling, you know, a hardware vendor over something like that if they wanted to throw Linux on it for the first time. And you can avoid all that and support a good cause by shopping with ThinkPenguin instead.
Yeah, and the two things I want to add. One, if you go to the ThinkPenguin site, it's also not ad-laden like other sites. If you, like, we just had a huge thing happen in the last couple weeks. Yahoo ad servers dispensing malware. Okay, you go to Dell, HP, all these other sites. They use third-party ad sites to generate more money. I.e., another reason why they cost less money, because they're selling their soul for ad space. Okay, ThinkPenguin, there's no ad space. Two, what I like a lot, they have these little, small, I call them micro desktop units. Everyone's been screaming about the Mint Box, how cool the Mint Box is. Well, these people have had it longer than them, I'm 99% sure, and no one seems to talk about them. They have the exact same style box. It's basically like maybe four Roku boxes put together. That's how small this thing is. And when you go to customize the device, you don't have to click through 18 pages worth of configuration screens. It's all on one screen, and it gives you a nice handy breakdown showing you everything that is in it and what you are paying for. One advantage, one huge advantage to Zareason, I'm 99% sure, I could be wrong, Zareason and System 76 only sell systems with Ubuntu on it. Some people do not like Ubuntu. Some people do not want to even support Ubuntu. Well, in ThinkPenguin, they give you a list of supported distributions, Triskel, all the Ubuntus, all the Mints, LXLE, Fedora, Open Source, PC Linux, Mageia, Slackware, Debian, Zorb, and blah, 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 blah. And at the very bottom of your configure screen, you can type in what distribution to install. Okay, that's nice. I'm sorry. That's the kind of little personal options that allow you as the customer the freedom to get on the computer exactly what you want. You could pick an old version of Ubuntu. You can say Ubuntu 12.04 because that's the last LTS version. You could say that. You don't have to get Ubuntu 13.10. It's these little things that to me separate a company trying to be profitable versus a company trying to be beneficial to the overall market. And Chris at ThinkPenguin, I think, is doing a very good job. This is going to be an ongoing thing. I have a whole bunch of coupon codes, so I'm going to be doing this for at least 10 weeks. This is the first time, so I wanted to talk about it more in depth. I will say this, that little $299 desktop microcomputer, man, that thing looks good. Mm-hmm. And dare I say, the perfect podcasting rig, because you know it makes no noise.
Yep, those fanless machines are pretty neat. All right, well, let's dig into the meat of the show.
Okay, let's see here. Well, one of the things I couldn't do in the last couple weeks, Hacker Public Radio for the third straight year had a New Year's show. Well, this year it was a 26-hour, I believe, nonstop show because of all the time zones. There's actually more than 24 time zones, so whatever. But I couldn't be on it, and I can't be on it. now until the end of time, because me and my wife celebrate our anniversary on that day. And I never plan on getting a divorce. Okay, let's just say that. They talked about this. We talked about this, Cody, seriously, well over a year ago. And they mentioned it on HPR, and I wanted to give people a reminder about it because I do think it's very cool software. And it's called YACY. Y-A-C-Y. Kind of like if you're going to shop at Think Penguin, you're making a conscious choice to support something else. YACY is kind of the same way. YACY is a decentralized search engine, i.e. there's not a corporation on the back end controlling or manipulating, for better or for worse. They're not manipulating anything. So you gain some out of this. You do lose a little bit out of this. You lose the depth of which places like Google and Bing and other and DuckDuckGo search. You are going to lose some of that depth of what they search. But what you gain is what you're searching is basically peer-reviewed websites where, quite literally, I can download YACY. I can enter Podnuts into their search algorithm. And then peer-to-peer, it would be distributed over the other users. It's not lightning fast, I will say that. That's not its selling point. Its selling point is its decentralized search. I want this to become more popular. I want this to become so popular, it's literally search results are competitive with the big boys. Because I truly believe competition rules all. When competition is great, we as end users win.
So help me understand this a little bit more. Because the way I'm looking at it is that it's not necessarily going up against like one bank of data for results. Is that what I'm understanding? So how is this benefiting the user versus using? I mean, aside from, you know, potential tracking and, you know, being just knocked over the head with, at the moment and future, you know, advertisements.
Well, that's one of the pluses. The other pluses is, to be honest, dare I say, low-hanging fruit. Bad sites do whatever they can to rank higher in Google, which also makes it harder for legitimate sites to rank higher in Google. Using YACY, when I enter a new search in the pool of search results, it gets distributed amongst the network. So it's basically almost like peer-reviewed search. Instead of searching through the world of the internet, you're searching through the YACY user base recommended websites. Now, I will say the depth is the biggest difference. That's the biggest factor in it not being a great search engine. But it's a catch-22. Without users downloading this and adding websites they like to it, it can't get better. And if it can't get better, then not as many people will use it. So we're going to need people up front to use this to help it grow into something great. You can get it for Windows, Mac, and Linux. So it doesn't matter what you're on, unless you're on the Alpha Omega or something.
So they don't have it available for the Commodore 64?
In a VM, maybe, yes.
Okay, all right.
I'm guessing.
Although a decentralized search with a baud modem might be a recipe for disaster.
Yes. And I'll say the other thing that because this is not a target of attacks, in my humble opinion, some of the search results you put in are you're going to get better results. Some of the search stuff you put in, you'll get worse results. There's no perfect recipe, dare I say. But I think it's cool, and I would love to see this actually grow and become competitive on the world market, dare I say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if you surveyed, you know, 100, you know, people who claimed to be, you know, tech savvy just off the street, they might not even consider this as a thing, you know, to be chosen for as an option, you know, because let's face it, you know, Google it is now a verb.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of search, you think of Google. You know, back in the day, it used to be Yahoo or Lycos or Dogpile, you know, but if you look at the layers that it takes to get these results, and once you can start to tweak those settings and sort of, you know, control your own destiny online, then you're going to see more options like this, and you know just as well as in any arena, competition just makes for better products for the end user.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool.
Okay. The next couple links are all going to kind of be similarly themed. This is a Stephen J. Von Nichols, tipping my hat to Colonel Panic when I say that. Five top Linux and open source stories of 2013. All I care about is number one. Okay. The rest I'm not even looking at. And this is how he titles number one. Open source software methodology goes everywhere. Okay. Long story short, the place I'm working at right now, I've been there for 18 years. 18 years ago, no one would ever say open source. 10 years ago, two people might have said open source, and they were not executives. In the last year, I've heard two of the highest executives I've had dealings with say the words open source. Okay. And that isn't a huge achievement, because there's nothing actually done with open source, but the awareness of it is step one. Now, the field that I'm in by default is 10 years behind everyone. Okay. We are always behind everyone. That's just the nature of the beast. But even we are starting to mention the idea of open source. I'm on a, long story short, a enterprise architecture governance board. And I'm happy they use the word methodology, because I went on a 20-minute rant on one of the meetings about software development methodology. I know better than to use words like open source and GPL software and free software, because they don't understand it. And some of them might be vexed by it even, because they don't understand it. So I just kept saying, we need to adhere to, well, we need to adopt, and we need to adhere to and stick with a more of a open methodology of software development. We need to, and by open, I mean, we need to use tools, processes, APIs, and protocols that are open for further development by everyone, including us. And me just saying that kind of thing 5 years ago could have gotten me fired. Okay. But I was able to say it in a meeting with executives, and I didn't get shunned. That is, to me, a huge, gigantic step in the evolution of software and enterprise. And I will say, I truly believe working for government is not going to have a choice in the coming years. It's either going to be go broke, go even more broke, increase even more taxes, or go towards open methodologies of software. I just don't think we have a choice in the long run. Whether it's going to happen quick enough, I don't know.
Well, that and the philosophies are becoming more understood by the mainstream. So just like anything else you're talking about, especially technology-wise, if you use, you know, the industry jargon, or, you know, the industry speak, you know, for instance, you know, if, you know, you walk, like I said earlier, you walk to someone on the street, what does open source mean? They might, what? But if you explain to them in other words without using open source what the idea is, they'd be like, oh yeah, I get that. I've heard of that before. So yeah, it's all about breaking it down for people and then showing them the value of these ideas or these ways of doing things. And that will lead to a success in the future.
Yeah, and I'll say the number two on their list, I literally, before I just looked at number one, I just stopped looking, but the number two on their list, the rise of the Chromebook. Okay, this is, I'm going to say something that just happened a week ago and then something that just happened. Okay, one, Amazon Chromebook sales for the holiday season this year outnumbered Microsoft Windows laptop sales. Trust me when I say this, when you see ads on television from Microsoft that are solely geared to discount the Chromebook, Microsoft as a corporation is genuinely scared of a Chromebook. And they, to be honest, they should, because most users don't need video rendering software, audio editing software, these kind of things. A Chromebook does just fine. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, more importantly, at CES, it was just unveiled. I believe it was HP selling a Android desktop computer. And all I ask people, I've said this, I believe in the past, and I will say it again. Hear me now, believe me later. This is the beginning of the end of the Microsoft monopoly in people's houses of computing. And I say that because Apple really has a small percentage. They cost so much, which is why they're so stinking rich. But just as far as percentage in people's houses, Apple's not there. Microsoft is still the immense dominating factor because of laptops and desktops. People's necessities are much less than we give them credit for. All they care about is Facebook and YouTube, okay? This idea of an Android desktop computer is going to destroy Windows sales once you see them in Best Buy, which a company like HP, Asus, other people creating these things, you are going to see them in Best Buys. You are going to see them in Walmart. Microsoft cannot compete with the price of them because there is no licensing fee for them, i.e. they're going to cost less. This is it. We now are going to witness Microsoft solely relying on enterprise and office sales. It's going to, I swear, I've seen it clear as day. It's going to happen.
Well, and if you think about it, you know, and you know this for a fact, the majority of Windows licenses sold, I mean, when Microsoft pulls out their numbers every year, and I mean, I'm not trying to bash on them at all. This is just a fact, and I'm not hating on them at all. I know we have some, it's something that might be construed as anti-Microsoft speak on this show, and we've talked about it before, but it's not at all. But when they talk about numbers of licenses, you know, sold throughout the year, the majority of those are pre-installed on machines that they've sold in bulk to retail or to enterprise. So it's not someone consciously cash in hand going to a store and saying, I would like to purchase Windows 8, please. It's, this is what came on this laptop I just bought.
Exactly. And this is the Steve Gibson, I want to say rule of the default, tyranny of the default. This is the Steve Gibson tyranny of the default coming to active fruition in the market. 99.999% of the people who go buy a computer don't care what's on it. They're presented with Windows computers, so they buy Windows computers. A lot of students know they need Microsoft for X, or they need Mac because of Y. 99% of the grandmas and people over the age of 30 don't care what they buy, as long as it just works. And I still say, I don't care, prove me wrong. There is no such thing as Android malware on the continental United States or in Europe. The only Android malware, quote unquote, exists are on closed ecosystems and markets like China, where there is no Google Play Store, and they have to rely on third-party app stores. If I can tell someone, if you buy this, you're never going to get infection, in all honesty, in all probability, you're never going to get infection. That is a key selling point that Microsoft cannot compete with. Even Microsoft RT, on the official Microsoft blog, they admit Windows RT comes with Windows Defender because it is still possible. Well, not probable, and I agree with them, it's not probable, but it's still possible to get an infection even on Windows RT. On Android, prove me wrong. Don't send me links to stories of people in Uzbekistan and China getting malware. Show me a real legitimate record of someone in the continental United States or Europe or England that has a genuine infection. Doesn't happen. And I know many people out there right now calling me a liar. Find it. Find it.
Lots of FUD when it comes to Android malware. Lots of it.
Well, and I agree. I am typically a proponent of, what was it? Anti-FUD? Reverse FUD? Un-FUD? Because as of 12:25 a.m. Friday morning, I'm right. So I've been proved wrong. If it changes, trust me, I'm impartial. I'm unbiased. I'll tell you when it happens. When I see it happen, I try to get infected. Okay, even on my Linux desktops, I still can't get infected. When it happens, I will be the first person out there to warn people on what kind of software you need to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now this next link was
Come on, you're not going to mention number three on that list?
What was number three on the list?
Ow. Oh, come on, Dor.
I didn't go past it. I swear. I stopped on two. What was three?
Okay.
What was it?
I'm just going to mention it because the way I could talk about it for shows, the Steam machine, Steam OS.
Oh, well, the machines weren't in existence when this story came out. I know on CES, I think they unveiled a couple.
They had, I think when that story came out, they had, Valve had already sent out some prototypes, but yeah, Steam OS is definitely a thing. A thing that, we should be excited about.
Unquestionably. And I almost revel in the fact that the long-term Linux user now is just like, oh yeah, Steam, we got that. Like, you understand this is still kind of groundbreaking, right? I mean, we have Steam. I've purchased more than a couple games. I don't have a lot of time to play them, but I literally, when I can afford to, I like to support people who I think are doing good things, whether it be app developers, system developers, or even game developers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll, I have yet to fully, you know, basically you'll see a SteamOS report coming from me and the show very soon.
Teaser, I see.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now this next link is actually from September 20th, 2013. It hasn't been in my Gitpocket account that long, so I don't know when I found it, but I didn't find it till seemingly recently. And this is a link to 12 keynote videos from LinuxCon 13. Now, super quick. LinuxCon is the Ferrari of Linux events. This is the one that's actually put on by, I believe, the Linux Foundation, and I believe you got to pay to even get in the door. Okay, this is not your mom and pop. This is not even a Linux Ohio Fest. This is not a NELF. This is a big corporate kernel developer event, and these keynotes are not joking around. Okay. For instance, Linux in gaming, Gabe Newell, whatever.
Newell.
So, but I'm sure everyone's already heard the key points mentioned in that talk. But if you want to watch the entire talk, you can watch it all on LinuxGizmos.com. Has links. There's a lot of good links here. I'm not a video watcher per se. I did watch a couple of these. What Android has met in 5 years. Shiny new toys about the Raspberry Pi stuff. I thought that was a fantastic talk. State of Linux. Very interesting talk indeed. I encourage people, go follow this link. Check it out. Good stuff.
And you know what? Even if you're looking over that list and if you have just the tiniest a bit of interest in any one of those topics, at least commit to watching the first 5 minutes. Because when I've shortly before the holiday season went by, on my days off, I would commit about 45 minutes to an hour every day just watching TED Talks. And the majority of you should be familiar with that that event and those keynotes. But after a while, you know, going through the list of things that, oh, of course, I would be totally interested in that. And, you know, I watched a lot of them. I was like, oh, that is awesome. And then I would see some like, oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. And then I'd click on it, watch it. And then it would just blow my mind to be like way better than I ever thought it would be. So I say worst case scenario, you know, you're going to see some good content and maybe be turned on to some other technologies or things that you didn't know about before. So yeah, to have one of these lists consolidated like this, especially for something along these lines, is very, very cool.
Absolutely. And I'll say, just like TED Talks, I too just randomly click through them. You literally know within the first couple minutes if this is going to draw you in or not, even if it's a topic that you thought you weren't interested in. I found the exact same thing with these talks, because like two of them I clicked on, I thought, I'll just see who's talking about it. And like 3 minutes in, I realized I'm not 3 minutes in, I'm 30 minutes in, you know?
Right. Right.
Definitely, definitely good stuff. Okay. This next link is a source of pain. It's a source of pain for me personally, partially because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Okay.
I'll say that openly and freely. I did a talk at Ohio Linux Fest on creating content and podcasting. Let me rephrase that. Creating audio content and podcasting from a solely Linux base and trying to use as much free software as possible. I'm looking at a site called Patreon, patreon.com, to also do some ad hoc video content. Okay. And I'm still kind of green on video editors. Using an application like QTractor, I think I understand much more the complexity of higher end editors in general, I'll say. So this is the kind of link I visited, and I went through their top 7 video editors, I'll say. And I will say Klaatu, well, first off, a couple of them, okay? Number one, Cinerella, which I will say I have never in my life been able to get that one working right. I tried multiple times over multiple years. I can never get it working right. The only way I was able to get it working right was on a live CD, where I booted up to live CD and that application was on there and it was running. AvidMux to me is not even close to being a video editor. It's like a video tweaker. I mean, there are things you can do to a video in it, but I don't think of it as a video editor. So when they say 7, to me, they don't have 7. I also tried OpenShot. OpenShot, I could never get my audio to come out at the right level. OpenShot isn't even in this list. Maybe that's why. Or maybe because this is a newer link, but I could never get the audio right. Lives, Lives, is another one I could never get working right. I'm running standard operating systems. Ubuntu 32-bit. 1204 over here, Ubuntu 1204 64-bit over there. So I have both of them running. I can try it on both, and both of them I'm having issues. This is normal quote-unquote hardware. Flowblade, I knew from Klaatu, I'm not even playing with Flowblade, not yet, because I think it's literally at version 0.2. So I'll come back to that one later. The only one I found that gave me what I want, how I want, and I was actually able to figure some stuff out, is KDEN Live, which thanks to SMLR, I know is not at all associated in any way with the KDE project. What the hell that means in the end, I have no idea. I just know it's called KDEN Live. This video editor, I can tell you right now, there's little doubt in my mind, I could, in air quotes, make videos in here that would literally blow people's minds on the type of things you can do in this video editor. I'm not at that point though. So the videos I am able to output right now, they're okay. What I'm looking at doing right now initially is at least, Android review application videos with the goal of getting a better Android device than I already have, and with, when I get a new Android device, giving away the old Android device on a show and continuing the cycle over and over again. Keep getting more Android devices, keep giving the old ones away. Hopefully by next week I'll have that up and running, but not yet. But I've learned a lot about KDE and Live. Let me tell you something.
I've used that one and the PTV or PITIVI before, and both of those are pretty fully featured and have good interfaces. I've heard of some of the others on the list, especially Cinelera. Have yet to try those myself, but if you do have a project coming up and you want a nice fully featured interface with yet easily understandable for newer users but has the robust capabilities of something kind of intermediate to advanced, I would suggest either KDN Live or PTV.
Yeah, P...
Off of that list, 7.
PITIVI, PTV. I know it's one of those ones that literally came out of nowhere, but it has grown at an insane rate. It's gotten a lot more features in a lot shorter time span than a lot of other projects.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you can have... if you think back to, you know, some of the better... Windows utilities, you know, for let's say, you know, computer techs, you know, 5-10 years ago, you know, the interfaces were terrible. I mean, visually they just looked like garbage, you know, like we're talking, you know, Windows 95, you know, style interfaces. It's all about what looks nice and flashy, because if you show, like, I guarantee if you showed screenshots of the editing the same, you know, 10-second clip, screenshots of every single one of those ones, you know, people are going to gravitate to the one that is more aesthetically pleasing, mm-hmm. versus the one that might be more fully featured. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all to see that one take off a little bit more because of its darker color palette and its more sort of flashy buttons. And that's not to, you know, knock that product at all. You know, you gotta put out there what you can to, you know, especially take your, you know, a section of the market, and more power and good luck to them.
Yeah. And I will say video editors is one of the things in Linux. It's still in almost a pubescent phase. It has a long way to go, but let me tell you something. It has gotten so much better in the last year and a half, 2 years. It has gotten insanely better. The types of things I can do now on Linux in video editing literally blow my mind. I will say one thing that I found... One thing that made me a little upset was, I know if I want to publish my videos to an online website like, YouTube, I should upload in WebM, WEBM, because that is what basically Google pushes them out in, WebM format. So if I upload in WebM, my upload should go quicker, my transcoding should go quicker, my end product should be clearer, crisper, run better, and it should be available to the public quicker. All of that. Quad core i5, 16 gigs of RAM. It takes every bit of 8 minutes to transcode a 3-minute video. So, It's a heavy, it's a heavy codec.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you know, doing almost anything with high def video, that's like aside from, you know, 3D graphics, you know, the single most intensive thing you can do on a machine. And yeah, finding the right codec and the right software to do it, and figuring out what format, not only taking consideration what format you're recording in, but what you need to output it into, is definitely going to help you cut down on a lot of time and not wasting a lot of resources.
Yeah, exactly. And my logic is I want to always upload to what's going to give the best result in the end. So
oh, yeah.
I'm going to be stuck with using WebM for, well, I think, a little while at least.
Very cool. All right. Well, that looks to be the majority of the things we wanted to talk about this week, Dor. Once again, before we sort of sign off here, thank you everyone for the kind words and for the support. during our hiatus, but I assure you we are back. Like I said, Dora and I have some plans for some other content. That's not going to come anytime super soon, but it's in the works, and we're going to make up for some lost time. So, thank you very much for being so understanding, everyone. I hope you all had a good holiday, and I know that 2014 is going to be a good year for not only myself and Dora personally, but for Podnuts and everyone involved with the network as well.
Absolutely, man.
Very cool. All right, man. Well, hey, where can we find you online?
Oh, well, I want to first remind people, if you're looking at getting a computer of any form factor, don't forget to go look at Think Penguin. If you think you need a little bit of help in order to get that purchase through, I have coupon codes for Think Geek. Send me an email. Doesn't have Think to Penguin. Be. Yeah. Well, send me an email. mail@podnuts.com or podcast@lenoxfortherestofus. And I said Think Geek again, didn't I?
You did. I did. That's why I corrected
Think,
you.
Thank you.
It's okay.
I will keep doing that too. I'm sorry, Chris.
By all means, and if for some reason you're thinking, you know what, I want Cody to plug something of mine on air, I can be bought. I can be a shill for whatever you want. I don't want any sort of donations. I don't want any cash. But if you go to Think Geek, and if you purchase Penguin Mints, and I'll figure out a way for you to physically mail them to me or have them sent to my home. Those are my kryptonite. If Super Cuckoo has a kryptonite, it is those Penguin Mints. They're mints with caffeine in them.
Ooh.
And though, yeah, dude, gaming sessions, late night at work, you can order them by the case from thinkgeek.com. Those will always be on my wish list wherever I should have one online. And so I'm just throwing that out there in the universe, you know, just seeing what comes from it, whatever comes, whatever doesn't. Hey, you know what? That works. That's fine with me.
They're out of stock right now. Hopefully
that happened during the show. Because yes. In anticipation of my announcement.
Yes.
One of the things the dwarf forgot to mention as far as the coupon codes for Think Penguin, we do have a limited supply. Yeah. So even in the off chance that you're thinking about it, touch base with us. We'll let you know what we can do. We'll give you the code and you can take it from there. If you don't use it, let us know that we can distribute it to somebody else. But these are limited quantities. So first come, first serve. Just hit us up, mail@podnuts.com or podcast@lenoxfortherestofus.com, and we'll give you the code and let you know what you can get.
Yeah, and I don't ask for anything in return. If I can help people get more open hardware, there's no doubt in my mind they're just going to be happier in the end. I just want to try to make people happy with their computing purchases. I've talked to Chris multiple times. There's little doubt in my mind he ain't going nowhere. He has a mission in life to try to make open hardware synonymous with hardware. Just everywhere, open hardware. And I'm just doing everything I can to support him. Really good guy, really nice guy. And I'll say, take this second to thank everyone who helped us this holiday season by going to podnuts.com/Amazon. You have no idea how much people that I am thankful for everything that you guys have done. Every little bit helps from us having to bow down to companies and have paid sponsors, irregardless of the validity of the product. If we were in financial hard times as a site, we would have to bow down to them. And we have not had to do that. We've only had the luxury of propositioning companies that we genuinely like and care about to support us, and we support them back. That is because this is, in my humble opinion, one of the best community-driven podcast networks anywhere. If you go and you turn on your ad blocker and you come to podnuts.com, it looks exactly the same as with an ad blocker off. We do everything in our power to stay unbiased, impartial, and free and open to any and everyone. I just ask, if you like that, just support us in any way that you can.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he is right. We have some of the best listeners in the whole world. So thank you very much for your support. And when it comes to supporting us through some of our advertising sponsors.
Yeah.
All right, cool, Dor. So where can we find you online?
Oh, the easiest place, podnos.com. Just go there. Again, if you want to send us emails, podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com goes to the show. If you have an email for the network itself, mail@podnos.com. I will also say the other goal I have in life in general is to be as transparent. I know that's a politically charged word, but I still say it. I try to be as transparent as possible with everything I do on Podnuts. Hit me off in any way that's comfortable for you. Facebook message me, LinkedIn message me, Twitter DM me, Google Plus message me, email me. It doesn't matter. I will do everything in my power to respond to you like you're a human being, because I thank everyone who treats me like a human being.
There you go. Very cool. All right. And as always, if you need to email me directly, you can do just cody@podnuts.com, or Dor and I both see anything sent to mail@podnuts.com or podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. So anything show specific, keep those coming. We do have a small backlog that we didn't address during our hiatus that we will soon. In fact, I think it'd be a good idea addressing just with the emails, kind of one fell swoop in a kind of a bonus show. So it'll help us catch up on one episode, which is good. We'll get that in the works soon. But yeah, keep those emails coming. Lots of cool tech announced at CES. Lots of new stuff in the landscape. I mean, we'll see, you know, stuff the next couple months heading into springtime for next year hardware, you know, some software releases, you know, any old little question that you guys have always had, you've always been able to sound off to us, and we will get to you eventually. But please keep those coming, because we don't have that big of a backlog right now, and we would love to address all of them as soon as we possibly can.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And as we mentioned earlier, please head over to the ACF.co. That is, of course, the Accessible Community Foundation, to help our good friend Jonathan Nato in his quest for bringing digital sight to those who otherwise might not be able to use technologies due to physical impairments or disabilities. Very, very good cause. For as little as $2 a month, you can become a regular contributor and donator to the cause, and they do use that money to do a variety of things, much to what we spoke earlier with the Orca screen reader. That is something that Jonathan is spearheading right now. And he's on his way to his goal. And if you want to go to, do you happen to have the Indiegogo link, Dor? If you
go to Indiegogo and just search for Orca, and you'll find it on Indiegogo. It's a long link. Jonathan has a short link, but I can never remember it.
Yeah, I forgot what it was too. But yeah, if you go to Indiegogo, that's IndieGogo.com, and search for Orca, you will see Jonathan's mug up there smiling. I believe he's giving the double thumbs up, and you can help make a screen reading a more affordable reality for those who desperately needed to interface with technology. And I got to tell you, I'll be making my donation tomorrow. And I'm a regular contributor to the ACF.co. Like I mentioned earlier, you can become a regular contributor for as little as $2 a month. And every time you see that email saying that you made the donation every month, it gives you a little warm feeling inside, knowing that you're helping with this great cause. So if you have the ability to do it, please do. It's definitely worthwhile. And I've speaking of correspondence with us, emails, as of course we already mentioned, but if you want to send us a voicemail, we still have our voicemail line active. That is 7076-PODNUT. That is, once again, 7076-763688. Call and leave us a voicemail. If possible, try to keep it under 60 seconds. That way we don't run into either you getting cut off or and having to listen to three, you know, voicemails, trying to piece it together, Frankenstein it up together in order to answer you. And it's going to help the show move along that much faster. Don't hesitate to contact us, you know, every week for a month or 2 months. It doesn't matter. That's how Dor got on the show. That's how I got on this show. You know, that's so it persistence pays off. Don't feel like you're only going to contact us once and you need to give us an 8 minute long voicemail. It's not necessary. We'll be here for a while. You'll keep listening. You can contact us anytime you need to. So on behalf of Dor and myself, thank you very much for listening, and please do not forget that Linux is not just for the rest of us, it is for all of us. Good night.
Do you sit on your butt all day? Are you tired of watching the weight pile on? Are you sick of what you see in the mirror and just too busy to do anything about it? The 28 Workouts Fitness Program was created with you in mind. Shed the weight and get into the best shape of your life. Workouts are only 25 minutes per day, no more than 4 days per week. No gym needed, no equipment needed. Instant download. Go to www.28workouts.com today for more details. Your time is now. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.